Our praise team is getting bigger to a point. We also want to thank you, Marina, as well as Carissa, for joining our praise team. Such an amazing way of, we can say thank you. You are my hiding place, and there's no greater place than in our troubles and so forth we can hide in Christ. Continuing our praise, I just want to praise the Lord for giving my daughter and my granddaughter a traveling mercy coming from Sacramento and joining us today. I just want to thank you for that. And also the fire that happening in Paradise, continue to pray for Morena. Morena, that's been playing our piano for those of you that knows Morena, I think they lost their home. So pray for Morena. But anyway, the month of Thanksgiving, to be thankful. There's much to be thankful for, isn't it? And the only way sometimes we acknowledge thankfulness is in a way of receiving, isn't it? To receive something from someone, say thank you. Or even in any area of something you gain, say thank you. Well, before we move on, I want to tell a story. That even just for the last two, three days before that, that fire came about, it says the day the sun didn't shine. Isn't it? The sun, in 1883, it is said that in New England, the sun didn't rise. The people awoke to an eerie darkness. They went outside to their church in a stony silence. No rooster crowed, no birds chirping, none of the usual sounds of a new day. How would that feel to you? The usual sounds of a new day. At the very start, people began to gather in small groups to question what was happening, to wonder and discuss what was taking place. Slowly, people began to make their way to churches. They say that by 12 noon, every church in New England was filled with overflowing with people on their knees crying out to God. There were cries for mercy, people begging for forgiveness, and others confessing their sins. They say that there were few people who didn't pray that day the sun didn't rise. The churches were full late into the night. As the next morning neared, great crowd began to gather on the hilltop and on the high places near their homes and churches. People were staring toward the eastern horizon. Every eye was fixed on that point where the sky touched the land. Every eye watching, hoping, a catch of a glimmer of the first rays of the sun. As the sun began to come up over the horizon, people began to shout and yell praise to God. They clapped, they danced, and rejoiced because the sun shined on the land again. As if in one voice, they began to praise the Lord for the sunlight, the warmth, and joy of God's new day. They had no idea on the land and the island nation of Indonesia, the sleeping giant of a volcano, Krakatoa, had come to life. They had no idea that this great mountain had exploded, sending a huge cloud of dust and ash into the upper atmosphere. This black cloud could be carried around the world by the jet stream. It was said to cover a whole region, covering the sky from horizon to horizon. Few people had any idea that the volcano halfway around the world could create such a cloud that could block out the sun. Yet, for most of those people, that very first time, they ever thanked God for the warmth and wonder of the sun. So, as we look at the situation like this, how do we go on? What is the point of continuing from here? Even here in this congregation, there are people that are hurting with their own loss. It may be the loss of a family member or a friend, the loss of a job, the loss of relationship, and so on. But there is something that we have right here in this room that makes the difference. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we just want to thank you so much, Father, for your word that come into our midst. The memory text or the call to worship is all about thanking you for what you're doing into our life. No matter what the circumstances is, we can say thank you to you. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the most important qualities we can develop as Christians is that of thankfulness. That there are few characteristics that will influence our lives more than this one. It can affect every area of our lives positively if we are careful to nurture in our life. For the Christians, this characteristic should not be an option. This is to be a quality that defines us in this world. Being grateful. When you wake up in the morning, won't you be grateful? I mean, I just read the story about this, that morning when they woke up, the sun, they could not see the sun shining. I mean, just the sun itself. How about your life? That you still continually breathing, daily in, day out. Let's just say what Apostle Paul speaks about thankfulness. Open your Bible with me to Ephesians chapter 1. But before I want to go on to Ephesians chapter 1, I want to give a background about the book of Ephesians. This is one of the books written by Apostle Paul, but there are some striking differences. Unlike most of Paul's other books, there is no usual greeting from in the beginning of the book. Also, there is the absence of any new information or problems discussed in this book like Paul's other writing. We do know that Paul spent significant years, about approximately 3 years, as he worked in the area to convert many to the gospel message and establish in a church. Ephesus, whose name means desirable, was a hub of activity located in the west coast of Asia Minor. It was a very cosmopolitan place, a major stop on the trade routes, and it is in the setting that Paul delivers a very stirring message on unity in Christ and thankfulness for God's goodness. And it's also in the setting of prison that Paul writes to the church of Ephesus. That's right at the prison. Do you remember he ended up in prison in Rome after he has given the citizenship, as he exercised his citizenship in Rome and appealed to Caesar? What did Paul have to be thankful for while sitting in a prison? Let's get started in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. beginning with verse 15, chapter 1 of Ephesians. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for your making mentions of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only this age, but also that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is in his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Here we see that Paul is giving thanks for good news that he has heard of the church in Ephesus. Remember, this is a very diverse and multicultural church, not unlike most churches today. Today, like at the time of the church in Ephesus, people come from all parts of the world and are brought together by the common thread of their belief in God, sharing a common bond as fellow believers in Christ. We see also that Paul is praying that the believers will receive wisdom that comes in a deeper knowledge of Christ. Wisdom and real growth that comes through the time at deepening experience of the believers with God. The kind of growth that we totally need in the church. A growth that would lift us from the pit that we often find ourselves stuck in, await them in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul's reader still did not seem to comprehend the full meaning of their calling, and he was anxious that they should see that the Christian's hope is based on the fact of redemption. They had the forgiveness of sins. They were children of God, but still their eyes were clouded. He wanted them to have the hope that would suggest to them more than they had dreamed. You see, hope is a mixture of faith and assurance, but it looks to the future, to its completion. The believers may know that if God, through the Spirit, calls him, his whole life will become infused with the blessed hope. That is what we all live for today, the blessed hope, the idea that it is not our home. We are here for a short time. We've been saying, Christ is coming soon. Christ is coming soon. Of the tragedy that's happening, we need to be more prayerful, thankful in what God has been giving us. Another chapter that we can see what the psalmist says in Psalms 103, verses 1 to 22. Amen. The Bible reads, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfy your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like an eagle's. The Lord execute the righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his act to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, is slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punish us according to our iniquities. For as heavens are higher above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. Amen. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for a man, his days are like a grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and his place remember it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children of children, to such as keeping his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excels in his strength, who do his word. Heeding the voice of his word, bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you minister of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord of his work in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. With those verses that just read, how can you not be thankful and more gratitude to God? We take assembles like this. But in some areas that we cannot even find gratefulness as we enter into the gate of Alum Rock. We become disturbed. We get so bombarded with the jobs that we have outside, and we bring them into the church, and our mind just being pulled away like the wind, taking it away from us. And we become disturbed, not adjoining with one another in one accord. We have a work to do in preparing the way for the Lord's soon return. I just want to share Brother Dominic. 2 Wednesdays ago, I shared this in our Sabbath school. Last month was about discipleship. And he rendered a message of such a conviction for him. He had mentioned that despite with his youthness and the newness of his speaking in front, I've been speaking with you in front of you for quite a time. I'm still feeling nervous. He said he tried to deny the calling of reminding him to speak on that Wednesday. I called him a day or two prior to speaking. I have no answer from him, no responses from him. Text him, call him, nothing. So I called his mother-in-law. Because pretty sure that he knows, I know that he will be there. And so I was able to contact him, and he said, I will be there. But what caught me in the message he has given was that through the years of his conversion coming to this church, 6 years ago, he said, what I have done for Christ, I have brought a soul to Christ. And he said, I will change my approaches in how I serve God. And that caught myself into myself in that area of lacking, of being thankful to God of what he has given me, in area of my growth that I have much less time to live in this earth. So in an area that I need to grow more, of the calling that he has given me, in the area of the benefit of he blessing me with a family, of a life given. I enjoyed very much the small, I thank God, a short togetherness with my family. We went to Disneyland with my two children and their children and their family. What a joyful time we had together. It was tiring, but was pleasing. And I thank God for just that energy that he had given me, my wife and myself, to still able to see our grandkids growing and able to enjoy time together. I thank God for that. Like I said, we have work to do, friends. You want Jesus now to come? We have work to do. So when we as a denomination began in the mid-1800s, we built with wood since we knew that Christ was returning soon. So why waste money or more permanent structures? That's the idea they had then. Save the money, further the work. As time went on, we began to build with bricks and concrete, more permanent structures that would endure the elements and meet fire codes. As you see, it progresses. Now we build with marbles and stone and create permanent structures that will endure for ages to come. Somehow, we have lost the urgency to our message. We have trenched ourselves in for the long haul. We seem to have lost sight that heaven is our home and not on this earth. However, there is something more to come, more glorious than any of us can imagine. Friends, you can see that the enemy is putting more focus on what he will be able to pull us away from having that glorious understanding, this glorious understanding that there is something greater that will come into our life. Look at how the enemy bombard our society in the technology of people's intelligence. Let's not be caught up with that also. Yes, there are very important in a very good measures of usefulness. It's there. Because imagine, how many of you been to LA lately? Brother Cholan, what place in LA? Riverside. So it's a little bit more further outside. But I'm talking in the center part of Los Angeles. With just using a paper map, I could have been going around in circles in Los Angeles. That's how crazy the traffic is. We started taking off from Anaheim, going home at 4:30 in the morning. By the time we get somewhere around close to downtown LA at 5-something, traffic. But with just the paper map I'm talking about, I would have been going in circles. But thank God for Google Map. It directs you very thoroughly. But if these devices can be used in a proper way of using, they are great to have. It is in this context that Paul answered by presenting Christ as the center and end of all things, working out his purpose through the church, summing up all things in Christ. Christ as the head is at the seat of all authority for the church. The analogy of the church and the human body is a very good one. While the body is one and the church is one, both are made of various members, each having his or her own gift and temperaments. Although there is a great amount of diversity of gift, that does not mean there will not be harmonious association and operation. In fact, the members can perform their function properly only when they work together. How unique, how much understanding of our quarterly lesson for this quarter. It's about oneness in Christ, or oneness in the body of Christ. So where does this leave us today then? We, as part of the body in Christ, his bride, the church, have a responsibility not only to him, but also to our fellow believers. In the same way that Paul offers a prayer of thanksgiving for the believers in Ephesus, we too should offer a prayer of thanksgiving for those that sit around us. We may not all agree, we may have family squabbles times, but we are one family. When we come down to it, the price has been paid on the cross, and it is our responsibility to carry forward the work. We started out by saying that there was something right here that could make the difference for each other, for each of us. We have something in this very room that can make all the differences in the world today. Look around you. Don't look at me, look at around you. We have each other. As you look around this sanctuary today, we can each be thankful for the people that sit around us. And in the same way that Paul raised prayer of thanks for the believers in Ephesus, we can raise prayer of thanks and gratitude for each other. At this time of the year, Thanksgiving is just around the corner. When we focus on the bountiful harvest, give thanks to God for his providing and what's care over us during this past year. We can and should thank him for the things that he has done for us and for the unseen things that he does for each of us. Thank him for the great sacrifice that he made in allowing his son to come to this earth to show us a better way. Thank him for the gift of eternal life that he provided through the sacrifice of his son on the cross of Calvary. Thank him for not giving up on us as sinners, even though we did not deserve his attention. Here is the difficult one. Thank him for the trials that we go through each day, not knowing why, but he does. The point could not be illustrated better than look at the following song in your hymnal. Look at it. Hymn number 559. I will just go, and as you go through this, just look at the first verse only, the first column. And the writers of this song, of this hymn, write this. In 1636, amid the darkness of the 30 Years' War, a German pastor, Martin Rinkart, is said to have buried 5,000 of his parishioners in 1 year. An average of 15 a day, his parish was ravaged by war, death, and economic disaster. In the heart of that darkness, with the cries of fear outside his window, he sat down and wrote this table, Grace for His Children. And follow me through. I said, the first verse going to be only. Now thank we all our God, with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arms hath blessed us on our way, with countless gift of love, and is still ours today. Isn't it? Is still ours today. This was written, like I said, in 1636, and is still ours today. What a God we serve. He was a God from yesterday, today, and tomorrow. God never changes. Here was a man who knew thanksgiving comes from love of God, not from outward circumstances. Finally, each of us can thank God for the opportunity that we have in taking part in the furthering of his work to hasten his soon return. Ellen White puts it this way, the Father gave all honor to his Son, seating him at his right hand, far above all principalities and power. He expresses great joy and delight in receiving the crucified one and crowning him with glory and honor, and all the favors he has shown to his Son in his acceptance of the great atonement are shown to his people. Those who have united their interest in love with Christ are accepted in the Beloved. They suffer with Christ, and his glorification is of the great interest of them because they are accepted in him. God loves them as he loves his Son. Christ Emmanuel stands between God and the believers, revealing the glory of God to his chosen ones and covering their defects and transgressions with the garments of his own spotless righteousness. The seal of heaven has been affixed to Christ's atonement. His sacrifice is in very way satisfactory. In him, mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Father embraces Son, and in this included all who receive him. To them gave he power to become the Son of God. They are his chosen one, joint heirs with Christ in the great firm of heaven. They overcome as he overcame. So the question I may ask today, so what does thankfulness mean to you? Here is how one author puts it in this poem entitled, Be Thankful. Be thankful that you don't already have everything you desire. If you did, what would there be to look forward to? Be thankful when you don't know nothing. Be thankful when you don't know something, for it gives you the opportunity to learn. Be thankful for the difficult times. During those times, you grow. Be thankful for your limitations, because they give you opportunities for improvement. Be thankful for each new challenge, because it will build your strength and character. Be thankful for your mistakes. They will teach you valuable lessons. Be thankful when you're tired and weary, because it means you've made a difference. It is easy to be thankful for the good things. A life of rich fulfillment comes to those who are also thankful for the setbacks. Gratitude can turn a negative into positive. Find a way to be thankful for your troubles and they can become your blessings. In closing, when you stop and think about it for a minute, and you are really truly honest with yourself, then there are many things in which to be thankful to the Lord for on a continual basis. Jesus Christ made the greatest sacrifice on your behalf. He gave up his life so that you may live forever. Are you willing to give thanks to him who is worthy of all praises and adoration? Are you willing to turn your life over to him fully? If this is your prayer, then I invite you to stand as we sing our closing song.